Boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants.
Listen to me.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM, fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM!
And now, here's BAM.
Here's BAM.
Basically, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got a serious crew today. And, today was a fucking wild day. We got Jess Mahiras here, Joe Franz, Fan of Bandana Ding Ding Blues, Uncle Matt and the Shipbirds, Chad Eigenberg, Will Pendarv from Sirius Satellite Radio. And the MTV crew. We're filming today.
We got a full house.
DeVito.
Yeah, we're actually filming the Jackass Takeover tomorrow, but I thought Pat was getting out of jail today, so I was supposed to film for opening up this bar, picking up Pat, then taking him straight to work at the new bar to get it, to keep him from staying out of trouble in Chichester. But Jess just told me all about his work ethic.
Oh, yeah.
He was working on your bar in the basement?
Yeah, don't give him a credit card to go to Home Depot with. It'll end up bad.
What happened?
He just takes it and goes to the bar with it.
How many extraneous charges did you find on that credit card? In dollars.
Dude, he went to Thirsty Camel, which is a lingerie bar.
Lingerie lunch.
Yeah. And, he ran it up pretty good.
Now,
a couple hundred.
When you look at the time he was at on the Thirsty Camel, I want you to look at the time of the next place he visited, because there's a place right around the corner from the Thirsty Camel when a guy can have a really good time if he's so inclined.
Yeah. Massage with a happy ending?
Something like that, I ain't saying.
The problem is, Pat, a.k.a. Slug Sligaro, you can't pay him until the job is done. Because as soon as you pay him, he won't show up the next day because he'll be at the bar drunk or something.
Why would I go to work?
That's his logic. Like, why would I go to work? I've money right now. Yeah. Like I'm going to go use it.
Drinking right now instead of work.
So you literally have to not pay him until it's done. You need to, like... what were you going to say, Cake Boy?
That's awesome, baby.
I must say, my bar in my basement is really awesome, even
what about the Chichester Arch? You had a crooked-ass
arch. Yeah.
No, he did that for legality purposes.
What are you talking about?
What?
Legality.
at the end, it has to be 5 feet. How about Jesse bangs head all the time because he made a smooth arch? Pat built it to spec, whatever they call it.
It was a drunken Chichester arch built by mistake.
No, it wasn't. He created the way Jesse wanted, but Jesse
was like, Helen Keller took a jigsaw.
Okay, if you're saying that, then why are all the other ones perfect except that one?
Because that was a huge one, and he couldn't get the arch.
They're all the same, dickhead.
No, aren't they two different sizes, Jess? The three small ones are perfect.
They all are.
The large one was done at the end.
The medium size is good, and the large was looked like Frankenstein. He had to do Frankenstein look to get it.
Frankenstein.
He was on a PCP bender and gave you a Chichester arch.
Not really.
But the only thing I'm concerned about is it took a year to do your basement and bar. Which is a tenth of the size of Bam's bar.
Time out, Joe.
On either floor, and yes, sir.
That was only on his off time. He had other jobs. When other jobs slowed down, he did Jesse.
Yeah, his other jobs were going to the fucking bar to
or some jail stints in between. There was a few jail stints in between.
A few jail stints. That's what you call it when you go to jail. It's a stint.
Pat might as well just pay rent at the jail because he lives there.
No, my favorite was
he's in for 5 months. And then he comes out for 2 months, winds up drunk at a bar, gets into a fight because somebody called him a pussy.
Yeah.
And he can't just go, I'm a pussy, whatever.
In Chichester.
I'm not a pussy, you're a fucking pussy.
This is what happens in Chichester. You go to the bar and there's somebody there that doesn't like you, so they're just like, fucked your girl while you were in the joint.
Wow. That's leads to a fight every so time. That's what happens.
Yeah, then you get into a fight and then go back to
jail. What's that bar in Chichester right by Pop-Up's old house?
Copley's. Tony
Villa.
Tony Villa. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're making Ming Hags. We're at Tony Villa's, right? And all of a sudden, this dude comes up and says, yeah, what the F? Blah, 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 blah. And it's Kevin wanting to beat us up. I'm like, hey, Kevin, it's me, Joe Franz. What's going on? He's like, whoa, I didn't know it was you guys. You guys are filming?
I thought you guys were Osamas and shit. I was going to kick your ass. I thought you were the Al-Qaeda coming. I'm like, Kevin, I love you and everything, but if we were Al-Qaeda, of all the places in the world to blow up, we would not come to Tony Luke's in Chichester. And why did you think we were Al-Qaeda? Because y'all got them shits on your heads like them Arabs wear. And I look to Duner, who's wearing a baseball cap. He's the only one in our crew wearing something on his head.
You had that black painted van, and you're right across the street from Sun Oil. They could blow half the damn county up.
It's not a black painted van.
Now you're giving
it's
the
Bam's van.
Ideas.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Sorry about that.
Look
don't
at
listen.
Phil sticking up for his brother. So bad.
I know their versions of it. You guys have your versions. I have their versions.
No, Phil, you have to admit, when Pat and Kevin go into a bar, the first thing they think is, which one of these dudes am I going to get in a fight with by the end of the night? Like, they just pick a dude. Like,
at Jess's wedding, he goes up to some random dude who's in the wedding and goes, is you a cop?
No, I'm not a cop. Why would you think that? Well, if you was, I'd beat your ass, pussy.
Why?
The guy's just like, there's no who need. Are you?
That was Kevy, wasn't it?
Why? Kevy.
Kevy, yeah.
Who's also in jail right now?
Well, Pat attacked Vito at Jesse's wedding.
No, really?
Huh?
It was Steve.
Pat attacked Vito?
What, give
it was
eight that?
Steve.
Steve what?
He thought was the cop.
No. It wasn't Steve. It was somebody else.
He said something to Steve. No, you know what? Steve said something to him. He's like, because he was wearing, like, sweatpants and boots.
Steve,
and
by
stuff.
The way, weighs 300 pounds and is big and muscular as shit.
And Steve had for a couple whiskeys, and he goes, down. He's like, who are you supposed to be, 50 Cent? And then he goes, who are you supposed to be, a flower girl? And Steve is, like, huge, man. He's a big dude, you know?
You know what, though? Big dudes get freaked out. If some big dude thinks he's all, like, he can throw his largeness, his gargantuanness, his
Kevy doesn't give
monster.
Two fucks
yeah,
about
yeah.
that.
If yeah. you stand up to a guy yeah. like that, they don't know how to react because they're used to everyone being scared of them. It really throws them off and fucks up their day.
He doesn't give
you know
a fuck.
What?
It could be a Greenland giant, and he's like,
Kevy's gonna, he's bigger than ever.
You know what's funny?
He's huge.
It's only funny because it's a year later because it wasn't fucking funny when it happened. It's like, this is fucked up. Yeah.
Everyone in the room is suddenly sweating.
And his girlfriend was all muffed up on pills or something because she was putting her lipsticks on her eye thinking it was eyeliner. She was putting red lipstick on her fucking eyes.
What?
It was that medicine to keep you off heroin.
Yeah, she was on methadone and she has her lipstick and she's going...
The best lipstick I've ever seen is outside the Warfield, though, Chad. What's that story, dude?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
There was this, like, dude, I think it was this old lady's son, because there was an old lady and this young dude, and he comes out this alcove in San Francisco, and everybody's, like, really twacked in San Francisco for some reason, probably from the acid.
Well, just that block that we were in.
Yeah, that sucked.
There was kids, people dying at night and shit right there.
A bum got stabbed in front of our bus.
Wait, where's this story going?
Some teenage kid was putting on lipstick on his, like, what looked like to be his grandma or something, right? He sent her out to hook.
To go hook, yeah.
Yeah, he sent his mom out to go hook her for drugs and money.
And the lipstick was, like,
well,
all over
her
face.
Yeah. It was like an old lady, she got lipstick put on by her son and pushed out on the streets of San Francisco to go hook. I don't know who would pay for that, but you can't make much.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, so you get 50 cents.
And then I just
gave her 20.
Really, the ugliest woman you've ever seen. He jammed lipstick on her like that was going to make her desirable to anybody out there on the street.
Who would pay to hump some, like, meth head bitch with missing teeth and a saggy ass?
That's what was so funny.
Novak, he doesn't care. Yeah.
I don't think he'd pay for it, and that's what he'd have to pay for it.
Jess, is this before or after the bum got stabbed in front of your tour bus, and everyone was just casually stepping over the body to get autographs from CKY?
That's what I wake up to. I come out of the bus, I just see a bum get stabbed and die in front of our bus, and the kids...
Why am I laughing?
I know, I'm laughing too.
Like, the kids were walking,
funny.
Like, walking over him. Like, they were just stepping over him. And I'm like, is that guy fucking dead? And they all look at me like, yeah, I think, like, you know.
He might be. Yeah.
I know. You know what? Jesse called and I said, how's the tour going? And he's like, oh, well, it's sold out. We're doing really good. And a guy got stabbed in front of our bus. And we're going to go get some breakfast. And I'm like, go back to the stuff.
I love how the fact that there's a dead man goes in between... autograph signing and breakfast. Casual fact.
There's like a dead guy that got stabbed.
Dude, I grabbed all the old bread from our bus, like the shit that was all packed in the back that was like moldy, and I figured I'll give it to the bums, right?
Nice, Matt.
Yeah, I try to be nice, you know? But I take and give the bread to the bums, and they pull it out of the bag, and every fucking pigeon from a mile around came and shit all over me.
Like, you son of a bitch. I'm sorry, man. I'm just trying to help you guys out.
You threw bread on the street to a bum?
Yeah, and like every pigeon in the world.
I guess that's why your name's Shitbird.
Yeah, that's like Alfred Hitchcock, the bird.
How you got your name, Matt?
You really are the Shitbird, aren't you?
I guess.
But dude, I asked the door guy at the Warfield. I was like, I gotta say, this is the most fucked up neighborhood I've ever been in my life. And he goes, you have no idea. He's like, just last night.
I think it's the 60s fault.
This business guy in a nice suit. Having sex on the sidewalk with a transvestite, and what was behind him was his wife or his girlfriend just going, why?
What the hell? Leave the guy. Like,
it's not like he's doing it behind her back. He's so muffed up doing it right in front of him. What are you doing this?
Yeah, and you can tell she's had this conversation with him before, so he's done it before. Like, stop.
Why would you take back your boyfriend / husband or whatever? Once you realize he is a transvestite. Yeah.
No, he was humping a transvestite.
That's even worse, and he had a business suit on.
Dude, it's not a three strikes you're out kind of thing.
He had a business suit on? You mean like he has a job and work somewhere?
It's worse to have sex with a transvestite than it is to be a transvestite.
Some businessman is banging Donnie.
Has that happened to you?
Many times.
Some businessman is banging Donnie, banging Donnie's with an Asian lady boy.
Yeah, I feel bad that I drink a couple beers, smoke too many cigarettes. This guy's banging lady boys.
He's bumping ding-dings with a lady boy.
Oh,
I honestly believe in that neighborhood they just put acid in the water supply.
Everyone is on acid.
Blame it on the 60s.
Oh, yeah. God.
Like, is it near Haight-Ashbury?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Basically, the strippers are the highest class people that are
LSD
in that neighborhood.
It's leftover LSD from
the 60s. What do you mean leftover?
And then
it's just running through the pipes.
This is even crazier, because as we're pulling away, another bum died, just, I guess, of natural causes or whatever.
What?
And then a cop pulls up, and he's like, Gwar! And
he's leaning on his police car. How many cops are in the Gwar?
I know.
And this guy, to us.
A, we're not Gwar, we're CKY, and B... There's a dead guy right there. And he's just like, oh, there is? Oh, all right, whatever.
Yeah, the guy really goes, oh, you guys aren't Gwar, sorry. Yeah. went and looked back
like
down
he wasn't
the
even shocked to see the dead guy?
It was irrelevant.
A bum guy in there is like as exciting as going to like wedding.
It's like driving around here seeing dead deer on the side of the road.
You know, is social Darwinism really a...
Say what?
Uh-oh, he's going to get real sad.
Let's not talk about that.
That just got you laid by a smart girl, didn't it?
It's the first time. I wish.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever got like devil horns from a cop over a dead bum's body with the wrong band name. Like, who can say they've done that?
It's true.
I can't say you've done half of that.
Yeah, I can't say they... Nope.
Go ahead.
I win. Check,
yeah, that was a fun show.
I farted.
And then the
what the fuck is that? It
smells like cake.
Do you still have cake in your ear? How far did that cake go in your ear?
Did that hit your brain?
Don't tell the cake story yet. I'm going to play a song right now, and then I'm going to get to it, because...
Someone say kike.
It's pretty funny, France? And it's going to take a little while to say, France. So...
It's your fucking problem.
Yeah, man.
So I'm going to play some Iggy Pop right now. This is Blood on Your Cool off of Skull Ring. This is Radio Bam, Series 28. Ritual.
yeah.
That was Iggy Pop, Blood on Your Cool Skull Ring. And like I said, today was a pretty crazy day. And it all started out with...
filming?
Well, we were filming, but we were supposed to be at the bar at noon. But we got sidetracked because Hannah ran out of fucking gas.
Hannah, you driving the Maserati?
Fuck yeah.
It says, it's got stickers on it that say Maserati.
Hannah, I don't understand how you live life. You're the type of dude that actually puts $3 of gas in the tank, and it'll go from empty to a little bit, like, above the E side.
It makes a creaking sound.
And you live 10 miles away, and there's no gas station in between, so you know that once you get home, you're pretty much doomed if you want to go anywhere else, unless you go directly to a gas station.
Yeah. I never think about it until I park when I'm at my house, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'll get it tomorrow.
Do you wake up in the morning and not remember that your gas...
No, I know it's low, but it's like...
Doesn't your fuel gauge doesn't even work?
No.
That's even worse. Dude.
It is the worst.
It's worth getting fixed.
That's not
fixed.
Why, though.
It's like a $50 fix job, and you don't have to stress, because if you don't know where your gas is, then you're constantly going to be worrying and stressing, not knowing how full your tank really is.
Yeah, it sucks.
Hey, the sound of an engine running. That's funny.
It's a shitty engine.
So I took the dune buggy, drove it 5 miles to where he was on the side of the road, and Seth drove the pink four-wheeler, and we made him ride that home. The ride of shame.
That's my four-wheeler.
Yeah, you haven't even rode it once.
My arm was hurt.
Your arm was hurt 2 months ago. We've been home for the past at least 2 weeks.
And then I couldn't get it out of the garage. It was, like, backed in there.
All right, well, the battery's going to die if you don't ride
it.
So now Hannah's got to ride it, dude.
Get it out for me.
Get it out for you. All you need to do is start it and hit go.
No, it was wedged in there. There's 9 things in front of me.
There is not 9 things in front of me.
Not anymore.
And then Franz tried to drive the scooter, and I jammed it.
I can't get it started.
I jammed the dune buggy in reverse, and he wasn't paying attention, and he went flying so bad.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, by the way. And I love how much pleasure you're taking out of the fact. Yeah.
Man.
How many times was I humiliated? What?
Time out real quick. After the song, you forgot to say Serious Faction 28.
Jesus Christ.
Phil is on it, dude.
Yeah, he is.
You make Pendarvis happy.
He's a detailed individual.
Very important in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one, Phil.
What do you call it? Station ID.
We should
do another one, Phil.
It's 68.
This is Serious Faction 28 BAM Radio, Monday nights, 7.
It's Radio BAM, dickhead.
What'd I say?
Do it again.
This is Serious Faction 28 Radio BAM. What'd I say the first time?
No.
BAM Radio BAM at 7 p.m. Monday night.
They know. They're listening.
By the way, everybody's covered in cake right now because Missy had a baby shower to go to, and she was making a pea pod cake. It was the ugliest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. It
looked like a giant pickle.
Then Shitbird went in to go fuck it in the bathroom.
It was unfuckable.
Then he barely touched his ding-ding to the cake, so then I said it was still edible to eat. And then Franz went to sniff it, and then I jammed his head in it. And then after that, it was a massive food fight from there. And I think Shipper got it the worst, but Phil got it.
Phil's got a big fat lip.
You got a fat lip, dude.
It's
thanks
fat
to me.
Lip, it's coming.
Chester Rumble,
you disgusting.
He jammed that cape, the marzipan part, right against my teeth twice, and it swelled up now.
Phil, you got a boxing match coming up. Tell us about that.
Huge boxing
match. Do you really?
With who?
Phil, fuck.
Marty Feldman, a professional trainer who was a professional boxer who's training me. He told me a Jewish joke. I guess I shouldn't say it, right?
Well,
he's Jewish. It could upset some people in the room.
I won't
funny,
find
it
funny.
Cat's out of the bag.
No. CKY Alliance won't like it.
Missy, can he tell it, Chad?
Can I risk it?
Missy's here, too. Is she your daughter-in-law?
He's Jewish, and he told me, and he laughed.
Oh, if he's Jewish, your daughter-in-law's half Jewish. Go ahead.
What do you call a gay Jew?
What? Faggot?
A Hebrew.
That's pretty funny.
Hey, Blue.
All right, that's good. That's not funny.
Bad. Okay, that's all right, right?
Well, not at all.
I'll let it
slide. Just thinking it's offensive is offensive.
Yeah.
That's the offensive part. You think it's something wrong already.
It could have been some racist part in the beginning.
So, wait,
why are you talking about a boxing
yeah,
match?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Well, I went from a boxing match to a TV show with Mario Lopez called Celebrity Boxing, and I'm going to do a few tune-up fights. But
are you doing it for a show?
They haven't booked it yet, but it's going to be Celebrity Boxing. Most people is a fight.
Phil, you're out of shape as fuck.
No, he's not.
In shape, though.
No, he's not.
You are out of shape.
No, he's not.
I'll fight that guy to play the gay guy in The Sopranos. He's as out of shape as I am.
I'll fight you right now.
No, he's
yeah, but I'm playing a guy my age.
He's fighting a guy who's 6'6".
My first fight's a 6'6", 235-pound young kid.
Let's do a pre-boxing match with me, and then you'll see how out of shape you are.
With gloves and everything.
He's used to getting punched.
Phil, punch me in the chest.
Huh?
Punch me in the chest.
No.
Here we go.
Punch me in the chest.
No.
Come on.
I'm holding it for these people.
Do it.
That's a lawsuit.
Punch me in the chest. Here's when somebody gets fucking hurt.
That's a lawsuit.
Somebody, I don't want to hurt my children or my friends. No.
I'll punch you in the chest. Come on. If you're doing a boxing match, you got to learn how to take it.
I'm doing it slowly but surely. Marty said don't train without him.
Let's see if you can
handle it. No training without Marty because he said I'll fuck it up.
I'm going to do it.
No, no. Here we go.
Here we go.
Do my shoulder then. Do my. Marty said no training without Marty.
Ah.
Stung and hurt like hell.
Yeah. And now you're going to jump into a boxing ring?
16-ounce boxing gloves don't hurt as bad.
Pull and tug that hurt my neck on Tuesday.
Yeah, but getting popped in the head doesn't feel very good.
Well, this kid's 6'6", and he tells me just hit him in the gut real hard, let him bend over, and then level that mother.
Yeah, Phil.
That's the plan.
Six. So you just divulged your plan on.
Whoops! I didn't say that. Don't be listening.
Don't be listening.
He's like, taking notes.
You're gonna train and shit.
I've been training four times now. I've been training. My hooks. They look pretty good.
Joe Frazier over there.
Where are you doing it at?
At the gym in Marple Sports Arena, Marty Feldman's gym.
What TV channel?
This is just a setup. They haven't booked it yet. But Mario Lopez is involved.
But what would it be? That.
He'll be Channel 6 or
who's
3.
Mario Lopez?
He does on him shows.
He's Mexican. Sounds it.
Mexican.
Isn't he that handsome guy that rides on the Wave Runner all the time?
Lopez. He's not.
Wait, I'm saying the right guy, Mario?
Mario Lopez got divorced because he cheated on his wife on his honeymoon.
They were married for less than two weeks.
Got married, went on honeymoon, cheated, got divorced as soon as he got home. What an asshole.
You can't trust a guy who doesn't have his vices.
You know Allie Landry? The girl who was in the Dorito commercial, she's real pretty. She was in the movie Thinner.
Rings a bell.
That was his wife. She was gorgeous, and he cheated with some minger.
Yeah, you know why? She sucked in bed, because she was so hot that she thought that any guy would just die to have sex with her because she's hot.
She said minger, by the way. It sounded for a minute.
Joe, did you get the message that Bam and I left on your cell phone?
Yeah.
No, I really didn't. Bam keeps bringing it up. You must have called someone else by accident.
No.
You really did. I didn't get it.
Your message was like, hello, this is Joe Franz. Leave a message, please.
Franz only gets like German pornos. All Franz is German pornos. All the girls go, yeah. Fuck yeah.
No, you're getting two stories mixed up. Yeah. I get the German pornos because whenever I get a normal porno, it's always some girl going, yeah, and then she looks at her watch, gets back to business,
I hate that.
I know, I like a natural reaction. I'd like, in an ideal world, for a woman to enjoy perversions as much as me.
Shit, I turn the volume off and I like to listen to myself.
You humped a cake today.
No, it's true. I don't need volume for that.
Shitbird, when he was living here, I actually caught him humping to his own rock songs.
And every time, that is wrong.
But
that is awesome.
But it's like the Shitbird's like the bass is good. Yeah. Like boom,
slap bass.
Why the hell do you think I made that song? Why do you think I made that song? I'm always thinking about humping when I'm singing.
You're humping to your voice.
I love it. And it helps because it's
that's weird.
That is weird.
It helps because when he has nothing to say, he just doesn't.
Then the music speaks for my dick, dude. It's just like
try Viagra.
Well, you got some?
You know what? Franz figured out that whenever he humps a girl more than six times, she wants to marry him.
Well, let me just tell you. It's the Valentine's Day show. Well, not really, because it's after Valentine's Day.
Man sent me a happy Valentine's Day.
Me too.
Pretty gay. I was uncomfortable.
I did it because you were like, dude, that was pretty uncomfortable. You should send it to all your friends. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I will.
Anna, did you feel a little weird when he wrote, like, happy Valentine's Day, dude?
Yeah, because I didn't have one.
Happy Valentine's Day, baby.
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah, baby.
That's uncomfortable.
Happy Valentine's Day,
dude.
It sucks.
Yo, man, happy Valentine's Day, dude.
So, Franz, back to fucking.
Oh, yeah. So, well, you know, upon reaching 38 years old, I've realized that I'm never going to fall in love. No, and here's part of the reason. Every time I shack up with a girl and, like, you know, we hang out, shack everything, up. Or whatever. Well, I'm a one girl at a time kind of dude. You know, I like to take
bullshit.
My time and hang out.
Liar.
And go to dinner and just relax.
Then but not then, call them.
Dinner.
Well, upon the sixth time that we always hang
insertion.
Out. Insertion happening on the first time we
nice.
Hang out. Upon the sixth time is a conversation. And it's the identical conversation from woman to woman. And that conversation goes something
you are
like
a woman?
This. And that conversation goes something like this. It goes, so, Joe, what's the... I was just wondering, what's the deal with us? Well, hello. What do you mean, what's the deal with us? Well, I mean, like, what's going on? Like, I mean, like, are you seeing anybody else, or... no, babe, I don't get time to see anybody else. I see you once a week, once every other week, whenever I get time, and I work the rest of the time writing Novak's book. And at which time they say, well, because I'm not seeing anybody else, and, you know, I mean, like, you're not seeing, but you got plans to see anybody else? No, not really. Well, what happens if you meet somebody else? Are you going to see them? Babe, I don't know. I haven't met anyone else.
I'm going to rape the hell out of her.
And so the conversation always goes something like this. Well, wait a minute. That's kind of fucked up. So that means I can just go out and fuck anybody I want. Is that what you're saying? I can just go out and fuck anyone I want, and you're cool with that? Babe, just don't take any strange loads to the face. Just be careful about it. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Well, that's fucked up. I don't want to fuck anyone else. All I want to do is fuck you. Well, then, babe, then
fuck
let's
me.
Just continue as we were. Let's have fun. I can come over here once a week. Let's just have a good time and not get into all this stressful conversation, babe. No, I want a state of the union. I want to know how things stand. This is fucked up. And then, you know what? I can't deal with it anymore. I can't deal with that. What am I supposed to do after that? Missy, help me out. What am I going to do? All these girls want a commitment. They all want to get married. And believe me, I would if I could, but I am so goddamn busy. I don't know what to do. Just
move on to the next. Yeah. You don't need to deal with all the drama. Unless you find one that you really like that's worth the drama, because we're all drama. If you find one that you like enough, then really? Stick with it, but otherwise just move along.
But it's hard to find a girl that wants to hump the wrong way every time.
Oh, yeah.
I'll fuck anything that moves.
Your favorite song is I Can't Help Falling in
oh,
Love.
Oh, Jesus
with
Christ,
you.
Philip. Philip, you got a good singer voice, man.
Yeah,
man.
Good?
Yeah, try it again.
That's
do
good.
A song.
It's good.
For I can't help falling in love with Joe.
Oh, my God. That's their favorite song, Joe.
So, like, Joe, what's the deal with us?
Well, babe,
how many girls did you hump the wrong way the first hump sesh? Like, the first time you meet them and then you actually get in bed with them, do you hump them the wrong way right away?
I never hump them the right way. That's what I'm doing. Right, either correctly or incorrectly, I don't know. But I... See, when you've been... little fatherly advice here. When you're as old as me and you've done as many sick things as I have...
Lucky bastard.
When things feel so wrong and so right simultaneously, you don't want to ever do them correctly, if that makes any sense.
Describe hump in the wrong way. It's when the girl bends over D-style and then you... go over standing up the exact opposite direction so you can't even see her face and you bend your dick around the back of your ass and then you go like that.
And all she can see is your asshole.
And it just hurts so good.
That's great.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will.
It hurts so good.
I can't say for that exact position, but I will say this. Hurting good. There's a lot to be said.
Isn't that
for
a
Martin Kemp
song?
But I don't.
That's so good.
I have it on vinyl. Yeah, I don't know.
Just make sure there's no toilet paper in a crack of your ass, and you're all good.
But anyway, I, you know, I'm never going to find the right woman.
You're going to just find one that likes to hump that way.
switch to men.
Switch to men.
I've tried that. It didn't work.
Just practice on women and then switch to men. That's probably the best.
A guy knows what you want.
Yeah, true. and he makes so much more money. It's like there's somebody better. You got nice cars.
Money? What are you talking about? Who makes money? What?
Nobody makes any money, especially girls. I'm such a dick.
Keep this guy away from the alcohol.
I know.
Yeah, Matt, how come? What's with... Bam. Mm-hmm. What, didn't you say Matt was... cruising around with Jesse, holding a beer
today in my Cadillac.
What happened,
dude? We're in the middle of town. We're at High Street and Gay Street, which is the main center of town.
The courthouse is right down the street.
Yeah, the courthouse is right there. And Chip Burton is just waving a beer out, holding it up in the air, going, "We're going to the beer mill."
Oh man!
I'm like, out of my car.
Basically, have you ever had one of those moments where you forgot a beer was in your hand? It was like a part of you? Like,
an extension of your persona, a beer, on the middle of Gay Street?
It's like,
no!
It's like, there I was, like, with a beer. I'm like, holy shit, there's a beer in my hand. And I'm like, yelling at Bam, like, yo, I'm just trying to tell him where we're going. It's a very simple, innocent thing. There's no reason why a cop should even be involved at that point.
You know what? Matt will be the first one that's just like... Dude, the fucking cops always find me, man. They always get me. Like,
I know.
Well, dude, when you're doing shit like that, they always get me. Well, because you're waving a fucking beer out in the center of town.
And the whole time I'm thinking, these people have x-ray freaking vision. They can see into my
x-ray
car.
Vision, you're basically throwing it at them.
They've got to be clairvoyant, dude. They know what's going on.
You might as well be yelling about buying more beer as you have a beer in your hand in a car. You might as well beep your horn and go, F you, copper, and wave your beer.
Pull
me over, pig.
West Chapter Cop.
Oh my God!
Fuck it, dude. West Chester Cops. Very slow.
West Chopper Cops.
West Chester Chopper Coppers are the finest because they can fucking find me no matter what I'm doing. If I drank iced tea for a month and I had one beer in my car, those sons of bitches would be lighting me up.
What are you talking about, dude? I have driven with you to the Phillies. The stadium where the Phillies play. You have a six pack in the car. Okay, first.
Ja, I was fucked. Dude.
Yeah, no. Ja. And you call them road sodas. Oh, dude, I got a six of road sodas. I'm like, what do you got? And okay, there's some bud in there. You do the whole six pack on the way to the stadium, a 45 minute trip driving, and then
that's a long way.
At one stretch of which there was a cop driving side by side with us. You're holding the beer in your hand while driving, and you go. Oh man, it just feels like we're doing something just totally shady, doesn't it, man? Like, yeah, you're driving drunk with a beer in your hand next to a cop that's construed as shady.
You gotta
shady.
Do it right under their nose, dude.
We go to the stadium, and upon driving back with a passenger, you say, a lot of road sodas? Not cool. Good thing I got a backup. Yeah. And you pull out the flask.
Yeah. See, dude, I don't travel without a jack in my car, dude.
He puts it in my cup holder, and in the cup holder in my truck, the cup holder is right by the window. Like, right by the window.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude.
I don't even buy a car if the cup holder's up. Like, I bought a Dodge Ram, and the cup holder's right up on the dashboard. Kaboom! You put a 16-ouncer, and it's like, you're a fucking cop.
It's on the fucking dashboard.
It's all the way the fuck up on top of the dashboard. You put a 16-ounce red, white, and blue Budweiser in there, and it looks like you're a fucking cop. Like, they pull you over, and you're like, what the fuck now, officer? Do I have a taillight out or some crap like that? And he's like, no, you have a fucking 16-ounce beer on your dashboard. I'm like, well, no shit, douchebag. Is there people getting stabbed and mugged and raped and shit? What are we are you fucking with me?
Whoa. And you're driving shitbag wasted.
No, it cures road rage or whatever. Dude, it settles me down. It calms me down. Roadhead cures road rage, and so does beer.
What's Roadhead?
Whoa!
If you're getting blown,
beer
or
kills road rage.
Yeah, beer kills road rage. That's a sticker. You just don't give a shit. A guy pulls in front of you like, fucking asshole.
You're mad. What's road salad?
What's road salad?
Explain road salad.
If you recline in the driver's seat 100% while you're driving, you get a stick and you use it for the gas pedal. It's got to be an automatic. And you get the girl to lick your ass while you're driving.
Have you done that?
That's road out. I actually pulled that off in Maryland. 1988. Yeah.
He invented road salad.
I invented road salad.
He beats you.
I've never done that.
You gotta do it, dude. It's like your asshole's getting licked and you're like, ah. And you got the stick going. And you're
like, put in cruise control?
Yo, you have to. You got cruise control. If you can afford cruise control,
get
it.
Cruise back in the day.
I would wreck like a motherfucker, man. I would crash into a tree in 9 seconds.
In 88, like, the cruise control would, like, surge and, like, then she couldn't get to your asshole and then it would bump into her face.
Did you ever jack off at full speed while crying?
Oh, hell yeah. Alright, that's an old story there. That goes way back.
Jeez. I got nothing on you.
Off at really? Full speed while crying. I have jacked off at full speed and cried. Yeah, nothing on
dude, and, anybody else? On this song, the, sounds like a Muppet. Like, it's like, it's like fucking Kermit or some shit.
Sing it, Chippers.
It don't hurt. It won't work.
Chipper, Phil says you know my pants while crying. Phil says it sounds gay to have your ass licked.
Don't hurt, don't work. Into my pants I'll be crying. Don't hurt, it won't work. Jacking off in full sheet while crying.
You're certainly wrong.
I'm not synced up with myself.
Jacking off in full speed while crying.
Crying.
Don't hurt, don't hurt.
Yeah, Jess, on the jump.
Yeah.
How many arms do you have? It's like 19 cowbells.
Dude, we tried this song live at your Rex's gig, and it was like, I was so tired by the end of this.
I bet.
Because all the time, I was just like, you know?
Hell yeah.
Don't work,
don't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try this song.
Now what?
You go into a song.
Come
on, sing!
Full speed while crying, crying! Don't hurt,
Bam, what do you
got to
play?
Jack it off at full speed while crying, crying! Don't hurt, it won't swear,
don't swear!
Where do you want to play it, Bam?
Shit,
Bam! Play it,
and I'll bet you everybody knows, like, if you ever break up with some chick and you know she's fucking some other guy and you have to eventually rub one out by yourself... That's the scenario.
Jesus Christ.
That's what that's about?
Yeah. I mean, you know she's getting boffed by the way bigger
boff. Such an 80s term, dude.
Boff. At the time, that's you what was happening. No, I was getting boffed.
You know what Shepard said to me the other day? He's like, oh, we'll just pop into the five and dime. I'm like, dude, how old are you, man?
Five and dime.
I'm like a Woolworths or like one of those kind of stores. Like they used to say that back in the day. And dude, he was like, my first phone number had letters in it.
My first phone number is 825-616-UP.
Yeah, like a fucking license plate.
How does that work?
Because they didn't need the prefixes like the 610 and the 215 split with Philly.
Dad, do you remember
it was,
that?
It was like really? LO6 was your area out here. This is all LO6. And it had GL9, 485. Like,
GL9. Yeah, like dude, fucking James
like,
Bond
that was serious fucking shit.
The Woolworths 5 and Dime went out of business when you guys were about 8 years old.
Did you used to say 5 and Dime?
Yeah, Westchester 5 and Dime.
You guys are
and
old.
Phil, I've been to a 5 and Dime. I'm pretty old.
Phil, what letters were your first number?
I was HU5. HU5. Like it was yesterday.
I was LU6.
LO6?
LU6.
LU6.
Yeah, that was really
cool. Yo, babe, hit me back. GL9-3. Yeah. What? It doesn't work.
Yeah. There was no texting going on back in those days, I guarantee it.
Well, actually that started like in the 50s when you know, each number is assigned three letters on the dial, on the rotary, and you used to be able to say, like, yeah, I'm at Lexington 4568. That's when, you know, and the Lexington was the LE, which is number, I don't
know. Yeah, it was your town name.
Yeah.
You guys were on a whole nother level back then.
You know what? Here's the muffed up
part.
It was an analog
epic.
Tell you what, you guys love the same stories because the kids will come along and it'll be all Dara and shit, and nobody will know who the fuck Dara is in 50 years.
You mean Dora the Explorer?
Yeah.
I know it well.
But bottom line is I'm going to be 40, and Bam's got a challenge to try to get his bar open by April 1st.
Oh,
how are you
going
to pull that?
What's that have to do with you being 40?
Because I'm going to be fucking 40.
Yes. His birthday
is April 4th, right, and that's when the bar's supposed to open.
I'm camping in front of the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Do they like Hannah Bandana?
No.
They will, though.
Hannah Montana, you mean?
No, Fanta Bandana.
Oh, Fanta Bandana.
That's even better, dude.
The downtown banana bag or whatever.
Todd's downtown banana lounge is what we're going to call the bar.
Downtown Banana Lounge.
Todd's Downtown Banana Lounge.
Yeah. What about the bar? When is it opening?
Apparently April 1st, but that's April Fool's Day. Like what if I invite everybody for the bar opening? I'm like, April Fool's.
Yeah, and then I just go home.
People drive by miles and miles.
Just drive by and scream April Fool's. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's out there waiting, coming from Philly and all sorts of places. I just drive by. April Fool's, suckers!
Well, Pat will be out in 2 weeks. Does that help? 2 weeks?
No, it doesn't help.
Two weeks? When does Kevin get out of jail?
2 weeks after that.
What did he do wrong?
He beat up that guy down in Virginia Beach.
Why?
Well, he started it.
Because they said something bad to Jamie, his sister.
So he beat his ass?
At the CKY show?
No. They have a timeshare, so the security guy did something bit to Jamie and pissed her off, so Kevin went and leveled his ass.
Kevin's in jail.
Kevin's in jail.
Kevin's in jail too.
They can touch cups. You know, you rank your cup along the bars. They can touch.
They're right next to each other.
No way.
They're together.
Dude, that is awesome.
That is
they're side by side.
They're having fun in there.
Oh, the last time they called, they would jog around the jail, and I'd talk to the one while the other one jogged around, so every 2 minutes the other one would take over on the phone. They did like five
times. They're allowed to have phones in the jail?
They have like TVs and shit.
Jog while the other one talked, and the other one would jog while the other
one. Phil, remember when Kevin beat that dude's ass that was at your house working? He was out on the mini ramp or something, working on something?
Oh.
What happened? Who is that?
That was a guard at the jail, actually.
A guard at the jail?
Yeah.
Why was he at our house?
That guy sucked.
He's an ex-friend of
Hold on, I want to hear all this.
He's Pat's friend, Joey, next door. He used to live next door to us.
So what was he doing at the house?
Playing basketball, because the new Jackets were there and there. And we had a good game going. And Joey got rough on the basketball court with Kevy, so Kevy stormed off. And then after the game, Joey said, pussy leaving the game, so Kevy just leveled him, hit him over the head, fucked him up.
What did he say? Kevy's like, he's like what, 19 now?
No, he's 23 now.
He's 23?
Yeah,
And how old is...
Jack asked me he was about
how
70.
How old is the jail guard?
It was Viva La Bam.
Pat's age, like 40 now, 41.
He just goes up and beats the shit out.
Well, then the 19-year-old son of Joey tried to attack Kevy, and Pat leveled him. Did you see that tackle? Pat tackled that sub-bitch, landed him on the sidewalk.
I was getting gas at Wawa one time, and this girl comes up who was working at Wawa. I was pumping the gas. She's like, yeah, you cousins with Kevy Margera? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, he got in a fight last night with two dudes. I'm like, did he win? Knocked them both out in one punch. I'm like, sweet.
Did she mean just one punch or one punch each?
One punch each.
One punch each.
He just hit both of them in one. Yeah, one punch.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't.
I know.
That'd be great.
Shove the other one in the other one, knock them both out.
The problem is, he knows how fucking tough he is, so he takes advantage of it. And as soon as somebody goes, fucking pussy, like he knows he can knock him out in one punch,
because
he knows how to do that, so he always does it and then winds up in jail.
Yeah. Well, Big Kevin's scared, because the last time they fought, Big Kevin won. But Kevin went to visit him, and he's quadruple double size now. He's going to kick anybody's ass that walks. Kevin threw him.
So he's ready to bounce your bar. If I knew for sure that I could knock anybody out in one punch, and somebody called me a pussy, I'd probably do the same thing.
But then you'd be in jail like they are.
I know, but if you know that you could do that and you could shut them up in one fucking second, then it's kind of like I will shut him up in front of 20 of these people right now, and he'll look like the biggest dipshit. But then you wind up in jail for 5 months or 2 years or whatever.
See, you should.
But I mean, it's worth it at the time, but then you're paying for it later.
Do you want him to be the bouncer at the bar? You think there'd be too many fights? Yeah. You don't want him to bounce.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
He'll start.
I'd love it, but
he'd kill half the people in there.
He really would. And you know the kids are gonna. Well, people are gonna show up and fucking, I don't know, do stupid shit just because they know that I'm involved.
True.
You know, Kevin will just see somebody doing something like tagging their name on the wall. You just go up and knock them the fuck out.
Well, it's a rock and roll show, man. People are fucking drunk and, you know, dumb shit happens.
Maybe everybody should just smoke weed and chill the fuck out.
Still illegal.
Advice from shitbirds.
Yeah. It's like, that fight would never happen, dude. You'd just be like, what? Where? Who? That'd be a lot of questions. He'd never figure out where the fight was. He'd be like, what?
Wait, what'd you call me? Oh, who gives a fuck?
Where'd the guy go?
What'd he call me?
He'd be so fucking confused. He'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, it's coming at me too fast.
All right, I'm going to play a song right now. This is Alkaline Trio off the album Crimson. This is Radio Bam.
Series 28 Factions.
back to hell. Let us feel the
Jesse,
oh,
where did you play in England?
Oh, no,
we didn't play there, but I've passed it many times. It's a town in England called Brighton, and it's mostly gay. It's like this beach. And
what were you doing there?
Yeah. We played there.
Yeah,
I didn't play
what
nowhere.
What were you
man.
Doing there, Jess?
No, CKY played the Brighton Concord Theater, and right
show.
Next to it, yeah, Phil was there. And right next to it is a bar called Free Butt.
How do they get away with that?
Oh, no.
Free butt. They don't charge for it.
We're talking the Sirius Faction 28 Radio Band.
And you know what? Yeah. The best is death metal bands play there. So it's just like, we are rigor mortis. Thank you for attending Free Butt. Or whatever you know.
Rigor mortis.
So not hell.
Thank you for coming out to see us at the Free Butt.
Free Butt.
Who was the girl, the whore who came up?
That was Pendarvis was telling me that. In his neighborhood, some girl just comes up. This is her selling point. It's just like,
yo, you want to twirl? I ain't got herpes or crabs or nothing.
Yeah.
Just like,
be reminded
wow.
of it.
Like, if you have to mention it, then you have to rethink. Like, even if
sold.
You thought it was a good idea, she was like, I don't have crabs or herpes or nothing. Like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
But a lot of people she thought would probably be like, that's awesome,
not
man.
Oh, sweet. Right on.
You can move right on.
Yeah.
Like next
I ain't got no cold sores, herpes, crabs. You'll be fine.
Scabies?
Like, wow.
None of that shit. I'm clean. I got clean bill of health.
It's like an airline company just like, yeah, fly our airline.
I ain't got hep A, B, C, rabies, scabies, you name it, babe. I got it.
Fly our airline. We crash less than the others.
Something's bugging
like
Hannah. Something's bugging
something.
Hannah.
What's bugging Hannah?
What's up?
I don't know. You didn't do his laugh this week at all. I didn't hear that.
Oh, shit. Where is it?
Funny
Hannah?
Yeah.
You gotta do your laugh.
What's bugging you?
It isn't what we're fucking talking about.
Do you want
about.
That nice Irish whiskey in there?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Bring it in. Quit teasing.
Double the fuck dragon pussy! Yeah!
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 Yeah, where's that guy?
Where's that Hannah at? There's Hannah.
Where's the Hannah that... Where's the Hannah that told everyone the lie about having the Dukes of Hazzard bar in his attic?
And a Prince doll, because Bam was a big Prince fan.
I was a Prince fan, and Jess was a Dukes of Hazzard fan. And
was
like,
Prince was
I have
in the
a
attic.
Dukes of Hazzard car in my attic, and a Prince doll. I'm like, can we see it? My dad keeps it locked.
Locked where?
It's a good song,
he
keeps
man.
The attic locked, so he couldn't go.
It's in the attic. Why the attic? Because that would be cool, Joe. Come on. That was the one room in your house that you knew no one could go into to prove your lie.
I'm
the one up them.
Most attics have a 2x2 opening. No cars fitting up there.
Was that?
Most attics have a 2-foot by 2-foot opening to get in.
Oh, yeah.
How you putting the car up?
There's no way.
Hannah, in your... Okay, like, I could see that you could make up the lie that the Dukes of Hazzard car was in your attic, but in your lie, how did you explain exactly how it got up there?
We're five. It doesn't matter. We just hear Dukes of Hazzard. We just believed it. Yeah.
You really believed it?
It worked.
I never really thought about how it would get up there. I was like, maybe it's so special that it needs to be.
I'll tell you, though, I told a stupid... I was thinking about this the other night, and I thought about the stupidest lie I ever told when I was 6 years old.
Oh, I don't think that's the stupidest lie I ever told.
Okay, when I was 6 years old, for show and tell, if you didn't have anything to show, obviously you would tell something. My tale that I told was that my dad had taken me hunting, which my dad never took me anywhere except for to the McDade Mall, so that was a lie in and of itself that he took me somewhere. Well, where did your dad take you? He took me hunting. Oh, and what happened when you were hunting? Did your dad kill any deer or anything? And I was like, no, my dad didn't kill any deer, but I killed something. What did you kill? I killed a lion. Really? How did you kill the lion? With a spear.
Who did you say this to?
My entire first grade class. I told them my dad's killing
you a fucking lion. Idiot.
And then I killed a lion with a spear. Dude, like,
picture a first grader out in the woods.
Yeah. Like 7 or 8.
Throwing a spear at a lion and then dragging it home.
No, but the funny part is you say picture that. Yeah. I could picture myself doing it. Yeah. I can picture myself humming this spear right into the heart of a big, mighty lion and it falling in front of me.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I pose with my, for a photograph, with my right foot upon the face of the lion with, dude.
But you didn't get it developed yet?
When you think about it now, were you like, God, the teacher was like, this kid's full of shit.
I thought it was, actually, Miss Harkins looked at me and she goes, Joe. And I looked at the rest of the class. They all looked at me and said, Joe.
Did you get any chicks from it, Joe?
No, I didn't get any chicks from it. But they go, I did say, okay, I didn't kill a lion, but my dad killed a lion. An idiot.
So they knew, oh, my God.
That was so stupid.
So you said you take it to the next level.
Phil, what's the lie you told, though, you were telling me the other day?
Oh, Phil. Dude, when we were five,
I don't lie much at all.
He would just drive us into the woods and be like, there's seances around here.
He'd go on Incinerator Road, which is like this sketchy road in Chester, and he'd be like,
take us totally out of the way from the way home.
There's seances around here.
Yeah. And then, like, he'd always hit the door of the car.
Holy shit, boom. They're after us!
Yeah. And he'd be like, shit, they threw something. Yeah.
Oh! Yeah. It was awesome.
Why'd you do that, Phil?
I know which lie Joe's talking about. Remember the sticker car had the blow up thing and everybody would dive out of the car and break their neck?
Phil would say, because it was a really piece of shit, like, Buick, 88 Buick or something. Yeah. And, like, Phil's like, no, this car, it could explode. If you hear some weird like alarm, like, we all need to seriously get out. Just so you know, five minutes later,
gas leak.
He'd undo the seatbelt and he'd be like, and he'd be like, holy shit! Yeah. And he'd put it far, and every kid in the car would just go running in all different directions.
And there was always hundreds of kids in that car.
Break their neck and everything.
No. The lie I'm talking about, the lie you told to get laid. You said, Phil's ashamed to say it. Cause
I'll say it now that I remember.
Okay.
Fifth grade, I'm 10 years old. I told this girl, I'm in a band. I have my own band. I go home and I put on Spin Out with cars. Oh, no, Speedway.
Yeah.
Or Spin Out, one of them.
Elvis?
Yep, there's cars hung in the background. And as she calls right at the right time and I said, oh, I'm practicing with my band. I got Elvis on playing. And the cars go, on a Speedway, burm, burm, on a Speedway. You know, and see, the cars are going by. I live near a road. See, the cars are going by.
Oh, man. And she's like, damn, he's cool.
So you told the girl you're in a cool band. You're playing an Elvis record, telling her that that's your band playing. And to confirm your lie, like, to add an element of truth, you play the part where the traffic's going by and you say there's traffic going by your house. And
I live right here. I was the only Elvis fan back then. Dude, they were all Beatles fans and stuff like that. I was the only Elvis fan back then.
You didn't think that they would find out?
They didn't know about Elvis.
She was impressed, right?
Yeah, she was impressed. I could have laid her if I wanted to, but I was too young.
You were 10, you idiot.
I was too young, I know, but when I was 13, she asked me again. I said no.
Why did you say no?
I wanted to wait till I was like 15 or so.
No. I said no.
This isn't adding up.
So you're telling her all these white lies to try to get down her pants, and then when she wants to, you deny it?
And even in my yearbook, she wrote, I've always had a crush on you. I always wanted to do it, but look, I never did it, so I'm safe and
clear. Should have, pussy.
You're safe and sure.
Safe and clear, I said.
Oh, yeah, now, Jesse.
Sounds
Jesse,
like a face
since,
medication.
Since you and your father are in the room, you got to tell everybody how... Phil, you got to tell everybody how your son broke your heart.
What's that?
Me?
Wait a minute. Yeah. You fucked up.
He ripped my gut open for a hernia, but what else?
No. Remember when you opened, when you were cleaning out his car, and you found something.
Okay.
Something that made your heart sink right into your stomach.
It did sink very big. Very, very big.
You really hurt your father's feelings with this one.
He's selling his car to Rab, and I'm helping him clean it out.
Yeah.
And every time him and Janine or whoever you were going to Bennigan's with, it was right up the road, I gave you a $5 coupon. I found 150 of them fuckers in the back of your fucking trunk. And I add up five times 150. I'm saying that's like $750.
Oh, my God, dude.
And my heart sunk. I said, he just threw them in his fucking trunk and went to bed. He didn't use them.
I don't remember some piece of paper.
You threw them in
shit.
Your trunk and left them in a big pile.
Phil is all about cutting coupons.
Do you still insane. Do that shit?
Yeah,
still got them.
Dude, you can have 10 mil in the bank, and you're, like, worried about saving a quarter at ShopRite.
But see, if I use it at a restaurant, I tip the girl bigger. So she's all happy, and I'm just robbing the corporate dude.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard you slipped
so out. I've been slipped out. I didn't mean that.
Every time you went to Bennigan's, he gave you a brand-new $5 coupon, and you just never used them. You stacked them in your trunk. And then when he opened up that trunk to sell that car to clean out your belongings,
so
he saw that big stack of money.
Dude,
it was money.
$750 just gone down the tube. It's like a little slip of paper. I take it, and I forget about it in 30 seconds. It's already forgotten.
But why
don't
you throw it in the trash at their place or something? Throw it in the back of your trunk to drive me crazy
if
later.
If I remember to bring the fucking thing in, I would have used it.
But you had to open the trunk and throw it in there. I don't know how you did that. 150 of them damn things.
I opened it in the trunk?
We cleaned out the trunk and me and Rab looked at it and says, look at all these coupons.
Oh, dude, you know what? I remember that because...
It's a habit. You must have had a habit. Open that fucking trunk.
In that car, in the back seat, you could open a thing and it got you to the trunk. It was one of the coolest cars I've ever had. So I just threw it in the back seat and then it would go into the trunk, I guess.
You know what he said to me one time? Wait. He actually said... I've been looking over like your whole grocery thing, and they didn't take that dollar coupon off, doubled.
Yeah.
And he goes, you got to go back. And I'm like, I'm not going back. And he goes, no, you got to go back. He's like, no, I'll go back. And I'm like, no, you can't go back. I said, all right, just give me the damn thing. So I go back, and they're like, aren't you April from Viva Bam? I'm like, yeah, hi, how are you
doing?
You
went back?
And it's like,
for a fucking buck?
So he made $2,
holy
he made me go
shit.
Back. And it's
dude,
like, you know what?
Insane.
He's making me do this. So anyway, I got the $2 back, and then I gave it to her. And I'm like,
and then you probably spent $4 in gas, you idiot. So much time wasted.
I'm like, I am not going.
Yeah.
No, he has a sickness. A real, real sickness. I'm not allowed to buy anything. I come home with all the stuff I don't even want, but it was like 50 cents off, but I have it.
She's calling for help.
When she goes to the market, I say, hey, look at the ad and tell me what you're buying because I have a coupon for it. She goes, just three things. She'll come back with 10 items of coupon shit I had. I said, you bought that out of coupon? Well, because Sarah, I noticed it. I'm there. I got to go back and get my $7 every damn week, every time she shops.
You gave me a coupon for hummus. So I was going to buy hummus. I said, I'm buying hummus and pita chips. And so I go, and the
pita.
Coupon... I didn't say that. I said Peter. So anyway, I know.
Peter
I look at his chip. Coupon, and the hummus is like... Nothing I ever heard of. La Hoopia, Bigoda. I'm like, they don't even carry that stuff.
La Hoopia.
And it's like, they don't carry
Phil,
that
Phil, are you
brand.
The type of dude that doesn't
so
get,
I bought
like...
the other stuff.
You don't get, like, Coke. You get, like, a treat because
no,
it's, like,
no, no.
On
he
sale.
Gets his Coke. He gets his Coke,
that,
fixed.
That's the worst.
Whoa.
A treat soda.
They go 5 for $10. I buy, like, 20 of them.
But me
five
and Phil.
Cases for $10. And RC's the best, by the way. If you ever find RC,
RC
grab
that. I hate that shit.
Rabbit.
RC Cola?
Yeah. RC Cola is the best. If you
me
see
and Phil
it.
Got in a fight.
Fanta. They should send some to you now, Phil.
Yeah. There you go.
Phil, yeah. How about the fight we got in earlier today when I actually had to bring my receipt from the supermarket because I wanted to prove to Phil that I could get groceries cheaper than him. And I got like
I got
10 pounds of potatoes for $3.99 and he didn't believe me and he got mad at me. And so finally he calls up Boof on the phone. He's like, Boof, how much did you get potatoes for? And she's like, oh, like $4.99 for 5 pounds. Because what did you say?
I said, Boof, you're stupid. But I said, how about the onions? Because Joe got them for $1.29. She goes, $1. I said, see, Joe, she's right on that one. We get the 3 pounds for $1.
But if you add it up, Joe's saving $1.50, you're saving 29 cents.
Oh,
yeah, but
you,
I get
Chad.
My 2 5-pound bags, 2 for $3, 99% of the time.
Yeah.
So
not according to Boop. See, I think you're lying to
she's
impress.
She's wrong on that one. She doesn't.
You're lying to impress.
No, she's wrong.
Most of those coupons are such horseshit, though. It's like, oh, get 3 jars of peanut butter. Who the fuck wants 3 jars of peanut butter? I can't
because
eat that
future,
much shit.
In
I never throw them away.
Eat 3 jars.
Yeah, but doesn't it go bad after a while?
No, it's no, peanut butter.
Yeah.
No, you smear it on your genitals and let the dog lick it off. Jesse. Oh,
there you go.
Oh, yeah. Once in a while, yogurt might go bad. Once in a while.
No, remember you got sick.
And I'll still
still eat it.
You remember that baby juice?
No, it was V8, and he would not throw it the fuck away. And I was like, Phil, it's expired. You can't let things go to waste. You need to know the value of a dollar, son. Yeah. And then he grabs it and chugs it, gets all fucking sick, and I'm laughing my ass off.
Yeah, yeah. The mistake was taking the can. I should have let it come out because the top had mold on it. I shouldn't have shaken it. I should have just dumped it.
He shook all the fucking gunk.
The mold got down
in
the damn thing. I should have let
it out. If he would have just drank it, then he probably would have been okay.
It doesn't matter if there's mold on the top or the bottom. There's mold in that goddamn can. Get the fuck rid of it.
The bottom looks still red and juicy. The bottom looks still good.
Expired V8 is just fucking rotten vegetable juice. You're fucked.
It's not even that. It's the acid in the tomato juice. Reacting with the aluminum in the can creates a battery. So basically, you're drinking battery acid.
That was one of the three throw-ups in my entire life.
What was the other two?
Yeah, what was the other two?
The first one was we were like 15, and a buddy of mine stole his parents what he thought was wine. And I think it was cooking oil. We downed the whole fucking...
Oh, my God.
It was raining. I left rainbows and shit.
I'm going to tell about the second time he threw up. Because the second time he threw up was 3 months after we got married. I married this guy. He seemed like a nice guy. Right? You know what I mean? So, and we never lived together before we were married. I mean, like, we got married and that was it. You know, like, afterwards we moved in. So, he ate this pizza that had all this grease on it, and he threw up in the tub.
Oh, man.
Why the tub?
Because
I think the tub would hold it.
So anyway, I had to clean up all this pizza throw up.
You drunk?
And I was ready to get a divorce like 3 weeks later.
Why the tub?
Like
you couldn't make it to the toilet?
No, it was so gross. I'm like, if you ever do that again, I'm leaving. So here's the third
one. What about eating that hot tuna sandwich?
I handled that without throwing up.
Ew.
But the V8 was the third one, and I haven't thrown up since. Three times in the history of 50 years.
History of Phil-dom?
Yeah, the history of Phil-dom. 3 years of throwing up. I mean, 3 times of throwing up.
It's time to go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're out of beer.
That was epic.
Serious Faction 28, Radio Bam.
All right, dudes, we're out of here. I'm going to end this with Hell Train.
Why not?
And this is actually a band that Jimmy Pop found from Sweden. Track one, yeah.
Good at that.
I think it's actually called Hell Train. I told you, man.
You're
25
really
minutes ago, Dave.
He knows the track on everything. Jesse, you're good at that, right?
I am. This is the one that's like, doo-doo-doo. Right. Yeah. Hell Train, ladies and gentlemen. Radio Bam signing off. 28 Faction.
I'm the best.
Tune in next week for more.
You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam every Monday, 4 p.m.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
On Sirius 28 Faction.
Later.